God bless you. Okay, this is what I want you to do without the sneeze. I just want you to turn to somebody around you and say, God bless you. Okay, once again with enthusiasm, God bless you. Oh, much better. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, I want to take you then as we continue. We're going to be looking at Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the so-called Sermon on the Mount. Of course, it has a comparable version. If you look at Luke, it's called the Sermon on the Plain. But in Matthew, it's the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm going to back up. Last week, we were looking at chapter 6. This week, we're going to be looking at the Beatitudes. Several years ago, there was a book written called the Beatitudes. And the author suggested it was about the attitude that you and I are supposed to have. There's a certain attitude that should characterize those who are called as disciples of Jesus. But I think it's more than that, and that's what we want to get at today. But I just want you to have the opportunity to hear God's word first. So listen to these words. Now when he saw the crowds, Jesus of course, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." If there's a more important verse in the Bible, I'm not sure what it is, but this must be one of the highest ranking. Let me read it again so you get it in your spirit and in your heart. Blessed are the poor in spirit. If anybody came here this morning feeling poorly, a little glum, a little despondent or downcast, this is a promise and reassurance for you, a word of encouragement. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Notice the tense. It is yours. It belongs to you. Blessed, Jesus continues, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Now it's ratcheting up. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, not for wrongdoing, because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Here you see it, Jesus reiterating what he said in the very first verse. It's yours. It belongs to you. The kingdom of heaven is yours. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. So that's the response that Jesus would have us to make. Rejoice when these things happen. Do I do that? Not exactly. So Jesus moves in a different direction. Rejoice when these things are happening to you and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And then comes this wonderful summary statement. Jesus, really trying to dive deep, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, this is what passes for Palestinian humor in those days. If salt loses its saltiness, may I ask you a question? How can salt lose its saltiness? It doesn't happen. You see, it's absurd, and Jesus knows it. But he's having fun with his auditors, those who are listening to him. If the salt loses its saltiness, which can't happen, how then can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men. See, Jesus assumes that we have light, and we have light to show and to share with others. And if you don't turn it on, then no one will see it. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That's the good word for the day. Well, listen to what Jesus says. I love it. Just a few short excerpts here. He says, blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are you who are persecuted, who are reviled. Blessed are you when people insult you because of me. Now, when you hear those things, blessed, 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 you see Jesus reinforces, he reiterates, he repeats it 8 times over, just so we begin to get the sense of what it means to be blessed. Blessed are you when these things happen. I call them the you are to statements. Blessed are you too when these things happen. They are the you are to statements. Blessed are you who are poor in spirit. Well, I don't know about you, but as I listen to those things, do those sound like a blessing or a curse? Come on, let's be honest. Blessed are you when you are sad. Blessed are you when you are reviled, insulted, persecuted, when people put you down, John. Do you feel blessed or do you feel cursed when people say nasty things about you? How do you feel when people insult you? Well, I think most of us feel cursed, unless Jesus knew something that we don't know, something that he wants to teach us. You know, years ago I came across a book, and it was a book called The Child's Book of Saints. The author's name was William Canton, and this is a book that dates back almost 100 years, and he describes a story about St. Francis of Assisi, who, of all the followers of Jesus, perhaps was one who was most like Jesus. This was a man who was very rich when he was growing up. He was a profligate young man. He was very wealthy, and he wasted it in a lot of extravagant and different ways, but something powerful. He encountered Christ. Something happened to Francis. And when he did, he abandoned his wealth and his inheritance, and he embraced what he called Lady Poverty. And over the years, he acquired a reputation for being a very gentle man and a gentle spirit who was absolutely devoted to Christ. And he lived an impoverished lifestyle, giving away everything that he had to the poor. And he tells an amazing story, does St. Francis. He was trying to teach others what it meant to follow Christ. And he told a story one time about stopping in the middle of the winter when you were sick from the cold, it was dismal, and there was a driving drizzle, a driving rain, and you were frozen to the bone. And you went and you knocked at a house, and they refused you entrance, and they turned you away and said, "Go away, we don't want any of your kind." So you knocked a second time, said, "Please have pity on us, we are frozen to the bone, we are poor and cold, will you not help us?" And this time they curse you and send you away with sharp words. And then a third time he said, this is yet not yet perfect joy, but this is the third time, and these are the words. "If a third time you knock and shout to the porter for pity of their hunger and cold and the misery of the night to let you in, and he comes fierce with rage, crying, 'Ah, you bold and sturdy vagabonds, now I will pay you,' and he caught them by the hood and hurled them into the snow and belabored them with a knotty cudgel." That sounds painful, doesn't it? "And if still, in despite of all pain and contumely, they endured with gladness, thinking of the pains of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, which for love of him they too should be willing to bear, then may it be truly written down that therein was perfect joy." What do you think? Perfect joy? That's my definition of perfect misery, not perfect joy. You see, I think St. Francis has caught, however, what Jesus is trying to say and convey. He knows something that he's trying to make us understand. What would it be like to be blessed? Well, to be blessed is to move in the opposite spirit. It's to be what Jesus described as poor in spirit. To be blessed is something that happens to those who are poor in spirit, those who are receptive and open to what God wants to do. I call it moving in the opposite spirit, not by what we're experiencing in the present moment, but by living according to the promises of Christ. You look at the gospel and you realize that Jesus had it, St. Francis had it, but what about you? What about me? Do we have it, you and I? Do we understand? Now, of course, last fall we looked at the study and we talked about that second story perspective and living above the cloud deck. Living according to God's definition of who we are, what our destiny is, and what sort of inheritance belongs to us. And we live out of God's promises, and not according to always our feelings, our emotions, or our present circumstances, conditions, or experience. Do you consider, here's the question, how about you? Are you blessed, or are you cursed? Which is it? Before I asked, what would you have said? What are the words that come out of our mouths? What do they say, and what do they reveal to others who may be eavesdropping? By our words, do we suggest that we're blessed? Or would others say, "Oh, I don't know about you, having a bad day?" Sometimes our words give us away. I wonder if we can rise above our circumstances and our present conditions, you and I. Do we capitulate to the challenges of life? Do we succumb? Do we cave in? Or would we prefer to say with Jesus, blessed are those who have problems. Maybe we could update the Beatitudes for a second. Blessed are those who struggle. Blessed are those who are on the verge of defeat. Blessed are those who have problems, for they will discover divine opportunities. They will see God at work. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is yours. It belongs to you right here, right now. That's what Jesus is trying to say. You know, last Saturday, Pastor Bob was with us at a men's group, and he said something that I think many of us know, but we don't always apply and don't always put into practice. He said, what I do is, whatever my current experience is, whatever I'm going through, I always try to put the Word of God above that. I always try to put the Word of God above my current experience. So if I'm having difficulties, if you and I were having challenges or problems, we put the Word of God, the promises of God, over our impressions, feelings, and circumstances, over our subjective experience in the moment. Thank you, Lord. I am blessed. I don't feel blessed. If you were with St. Francis knocking on the door for the third time and somebody comes out and beats you with a stick, would you consider yourself blessed? Oh, thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to serve and to suffer for you. Most of us wouldn't say that. I don't know how St. Francis came by that spirit, but I think that's what Jesus is talking about. It's not our current experience. It's about moving to the second level, where God is, trying to see through his eyes what he sees for his purpose. All I could say is, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. So that's where I'd like to start. That's exactly where Jesus does this morning. That's his starting point. You are blessed. Blessed are you. What does that mean? Well, I think Jesus issues a whole series of blessings here. There are eight of them that we know as Beatitudes. Beatitude is the Latin word for blessing. There was a Greek word that Matthew would have used, and the Greek word there was makarism. And so there are two different words, but beatitude is the Latin word, and that's the one by which we know these blessings the best. Beatitudes, or blessings. And what does that mean, to be blessed? What is a beatitude? Well, I think it means this. It means that we are fortunate. It means that our circumstances are agreeable, that they're privileged, and so we're well off, we are happy. There's a Hebrew word that describes it well, the word shalom. That actually captures the word. It means well off, a sense of well-being. Remember that song from the Eagles? You've got that peaceful, easy feeling. Well, if you've got that, I think you've begun to understand what Jesus is talking about. That's what a beatitude is. Or how about this, the good life? You ever see those t-shirts that people wear or the slogans? You know the one I'm talking about? Life is good. That's what Jesus is talking about. Life is good. Blessed are you. But it's not based on our present subjective human experience, because sometimes life doesn't feel very good and things are not well with us. We're going through problems, struggles, adverse circumstances that make life difficult. But the objective reality, God's reality, is that we are blessed. But it's not based on our emotions, yours and mine. It's based on God's word and God's promises. That's why I like what Bob said. You set the word of God over your emotions, over your feelings, over your present experience. It's not so much about happiness in the moment as it is hopefulness in what God will do. Hope originates with God. Happiness says, I need circumstances to be going my way. And hope actually is the result of one who trusts in the promises of God, that God will keep his word and honor the things that he has spoken to us. You know, the Beatitudes tell us that we are blessed, even when the wind is blowing in our face, but not God. When things are difficult, we are still blessed. Blessed, says Jesus, when you are sad. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We can't force it. We can't make it happen. All you can do is receive it. You just have to trust what Jesus said. Because if you think you're going to experience it by your emotions, you're never going to find it that way. You just have to trust what God says over your present experience. Now, Jesus goes on to talk more about these, and he says that these are rewards. These are our reward from above. And there's an interesting word to describe this. Some of us learned it when we were doing English studies. They talk about two voices or two different moods. They talk about the imperative, and they talk about the indicative. Jesus is speaking in the indicative. What he means is, these are yours now. This isn't something in the imperative that you have to struggle or strive to do. They're just yours. They're given to you at the outset. Blessed are you who are poor in spirit. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. It's yours at the get-go, from the very outset. You see, the words of Jesus are descriptive. They are not intended to be prescriptive. He said this isn't some ideal that you strive for or struggle for to get there. Oh, yes, Lord, I'll try. I'll try to feel blessed. No, you don't get it that way. You either are or you aren't. You're either cursed or you enter into what God says and then you receive the blessing. What I would say is that these are not conditions that we need to fulfill. Jesus isn't saying, do this. Don't struggle. That's not what he's saying. He's not giving us practical advice. What he's really offering are what I would call prophetic promises. He's speaking the truth and the wisdom of God over us. It's about what God sees and God knows. He's not offering us qualities to be emulated, but values to be expressed. And so we don't try to do these things or to be these things. We just believe, accept, and receive them. We are, says Jesus, the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. This is who we are. This is our new God-given, God-conferred identity. So what Jesus is not offering us is a code of conduct. What he's offering us is the opportunity to reflect the way that our Father is. That's what he's trying to say. And it almost doesn't make sense. So do something for me. There are people sitting around you and back and in front. Just find somebody nearby and say, bless you. And now, again, I want you to say to them, you are blessed. Riley, you are blessed. Bless you. Bless you. You see, you are blessed. You are blessed. I didn't say you will be. Oh, you will be, but you are blessed right here, right now. Well, somebody else just blessed you, so do you feel blessed? Maybe, maybe not, but you are blessed. You just received it. Can you receive it? Can you believe it? Can you act on it? You are blessed. So what does it mean to be blessed? Well, I just call it God's seal of approval. I think that's what Jesus is trying to talk about. And I was discussing this with somebody the other day, and we were thinking back to the time when we were taking college classes, and imagine you walk in, Riley, on the very first day of class, new semester, and the professor stands up at the very front and says, Riley, guess what? Would you like to do well this semester? How would you like to get a good grade? How would you like to get an A? What would you say? Sign me up. Oh, yeah, I like it. So, Riley, you're going to get an A. And you're like, what? How would you like to receive that A? You get an A. You pass. You feel good about that? Okay. Now that you know that, what are you going to do for the rest of the semester? Are you going to sleep late and stay in bed? Are you going to... Don't answer that. Are you going to coast? Are you going to show up now and then when you feel like it? When the Spirit moves you? When you get concerned? Are you going to show up once in a while just so the professor remembers your name and sees your face? Oh, yeah, I promised you an A. Go ahead, I got it. Or are you going to do something a little different? Are you going to say, all right, great, I've got an A. Fantastic. Now I'm free to learn. Now I can engage. I don't have to worry about working super hard or meeting the criteria or when the paper's due or when the test is or when the project's due. I don't have to worry about those things. I just get to go and learn everything that I can from this professor. Learn from her wisdom. Learn from what he says. Learn from my classmates. Boy, what an opportunity to learn. Why? Because you don't have to worry. You get an A, right? You get an A. Halfway through, the day before the final, you don't have to worry. I've got an A. Going in, you are going to succeed. Cursed or blessed? Blessed. That's right. You're blessed if you know these things. So if that's the way it is in the class, why can't we realize that with what Jesus is saying? Let me just say this one more time. Everybody gets an A, okay? You're all in. Blessed are you. There's not a single one of you that's cursed. Not a single one, according to what Jesus says. The kingdom of heaven is yours. Blessed are you right now. Right now. It's yours. So take it. No, I couldn't do that, Lord. I wouldn't want to bother you. No, that's okay. I'm doing okay. Well, I wonder how often we miss the blessing of Jesus because we refuse to enter in, you and I. That's not the approach of Jesus. Blessed are you. He says, yours is the kingdom of heaven. Just say yours. It's yours. That's who it belongs to. It belongs to you. You don't need to earn it, and you can't. All you need to do is receive it. So notice what Jesus says. Don't misunderstand. He doesn't say, blessed are you because you are poor in spirit, or because you're mourning, or because you're persecuted, insulted, or bullied. That's not what he says. He says, blessed are you because the kingdom of heaven is yours. Blessed are you because you will be comforted. Blessed are you because you will have a reward that's being prepared for you. That's why we are blessed. That's right. We are blessed because Jesus says so. And it gives glory to our Father in heaven. That's what he says in verse 16. It gives glory to our Father in heaven. And so what matters most to us perhaps ought not to be public approval or opinion, but what the Father says and what the Father thinks and what the Father knows. His verdict is, you all get an A. You all are blessed. So if you knew that from day one, would that change the way that you lived? Will this change your life this week? If you leave here saying, I am blessed, I am blessed. If you go out of here saying, oh, I'm cursed, I can't believe it. Another cloudy, awful, freezing cold day. Guess what you will experience? Another cloudy, cold, frigid day. It's your choice. It's up to us. Which choice will you make? Will you go with your current experience or will you vault to the next level? Which way will be yours? I love what Jesus says, and this may be the key to all of it. He says in verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. What does that mean? Well, it means those who are single-hearted, not double-minded. Those who are absolutely devoted and undivided, who are honest in their approach and totally dependent upon God. They look to him to accomplish for them what they can't accomplish for themselves. And so that's why Jesus offers us that true definition of what it means to be a disciple. And I just love the simple symbols that he uses. He talks about salt, and he talks about light. This is a little salt cellar, and I also brought with me a salt shaker. You know, it's kind of interesting. Years ago, I received a little package in the mail. Nondescript brown wrapper, no return address. And when I opened it, there was a salt and pepper shaker on the inside. And there was a note of apology that said, I'm so sorry, but years ago, I swiped these from a church supper. And I've never felt good about it, so I'm finally doing the right thing. I'm so sorry, please forgive me. And I thought I would return these to you. And it was a salt and pepper shaker, and I still laugh about that. After many years, I guess it's never too late to do the right thing. But I love that. Jesus talks about us as being salt and about us as being light. Now, let me just say something about light and salt. And these are often used together in that world, two important things, of course. And just think about light and salt. If you are salt and you're light, Jesus says to us, he says, if salt loses its flavor, its saltiness, it's no longer good for anything except to be trampled underfoot. Now, that's absurd because everybody in that culture understood that salt isn't going to lose its savor, its seasoning flavor. It won't do that. Can light lose its character of being light? No, it's either light or it's dark. By definition, light is light, and it can't be anything else. It's the opposite of dark. But notice, as I brought this lamp, there's no oil in it, is there? You see, you can have a lamp, but if you don't let it shine, then all the world will see is a dark lamp. If you don't turn it on, it won't do you any good. If you don't take the salt, just a little bit here, and you don't, I'll put it there. If you don't take it out of the salt shaker or pour it out of the salt cellar, it won't do any good. If you have rock salt and it stays in your garage and you don't put it out on the ice on your walkway, then it won't melt the ice and the snow. It won't do any good. The salt and the light, well, these things, well, they have to be turned on. Whose eyes can I hit, Marty? See if you're awake there. Okay, good. You see, they were meant to be used for others, not just for ourselves. Let your light shine so others see your Father in heaven. You are the salt of the earth. You know what salt was? It was a preservative. It was a purification agent. They used to use it during exorcisms and offerings. People used to use it in the old days, sometimes at various periods in the Roman Empire. It was such a precious commodity, some of the soldiers were actually paid in salt. That's what they received. That was their take-home pay, salt. It was so precious and so valuable, they received salt. It was used to symbolize a covenant, an agreement. Even in Numbers on Mount Sinai, God made with Israel a covenant of salt. That's how important salt was. It flavors, it preserves, it purifies. So when Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, they got it. This is valuable, precious. In the eyes of God, you are blessed. You are precious. You are the ones that God covets. And God wants us then to be poured out for this world. Because if you don't let your light shine, if the salt isn't scattered, nobody else will experience what God already does. God wants to work through us to bring His light, His life, and His seasoning to others in a dark and dreary world. In a world that often feels cursed, He wants us to be the blessing that others see. Not so that we receive the glory, but so that people are drawn to the Father, so that they discover what we already know. Blessed are you. Let me say it one more time. Megan, blessed are you. Darcy, blessed are you. Steve, even though it's your birthday, blessed are you. Blessed are you. So one more time, blessed are you. Blessed. For to you belongs the kingdom of heaven. It's yours. Shall I say it another way, Riley? Everybody gets an A. So, what are you going to do with it? Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine.